Welcome back to the Adventures of a Disney Dad podcast. My name is Matt, and I'm a dad of three and the founder of AdventuresOfADisneyDad.com, a travel agent with the Magic for Less Travel, and your host. I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Chip, the dad of five. Chip, how's everything going tonight?
Well, you're talking to the newest AP holder.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Yeah, that made that official tonight. And yeah, I'm excited to get ready for our dad's trip here in a couple weeks.
So we haven't mentioned it much, but Chip and I are going to be going down April 5th through the 8th. So if you see us in the parks, please be sure to say hello. We are happy to chat with anybody and everybody, and we're excited for how crazy busy it's going to be. And we're going to talk all about that tonight on our episode. We're going to talk all things Disney Spring Break, which is going to run really next week through the beginning of April-ish. And we're joined by our special guest, Emily. She goes by Enchantment by Emily on Instagram. She's a Disney content creator. She posts absolutely hysterical content. Emily, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate it. It's a fun episode we've got planned. We're going to talk about all things spring break for our main segment of the show. And then, of course, we're going to do some fun games, some listener questions and things like that with Emily to get to know her a little bit better and her content journey. So we'll talk about that a little bit at the front end of the show. But spring break has been a hot topic for the last week or so. I've been getting a lot of messages about it with people asking questions. How crowded is it going to be? How do I do Genie Plus? All the questions. So we're going to talk about some of our favorite tips for anybody that's going down on spring break or really any time that you expect that it's going to be pretty crowded. But before we do that, Emily, let's just kind of get a background. When did you start creating content?
About a year and a half ago. I think it was... May of 2020. Would that have been a year and a half ago already?
Just about.
It was just before the summer, and I just kind of jumped in, and it's, you know, going really well for me. So pretty thankful.
How did that get started?
Really just because I go to Disney all the time, and I'm just a big goofball just in general. And so I had friends and family who were like, you should just put stuff online. You're always cracking jokes about it and you love it, but you know, I'm not the typical Disney girl, if you will. Yes, I have a family and I go with my kids, but I have, you know, a little bit more of an edge, if you will, some of my humor. So
I would call it a sense of humor, but I don't want to like knock anybody else that's in the Disney community as if we don't.
Not at all.
But you have a very different edge is a great way to put it. It's an edge to your content, and it is funny. I feel like it's old school comedy. In a sense.
Yeah. I definitely like, I love the whole Will Ferrell, like old school Saturday Night Live kind of humor, Chris Farley, like that's just kind of always been my jam. So, you know, I was on Instagram and I'm watching all of these other content creators and they're all fantastic at what they do. I'm not knocking anybody by any means, but I didn't see a lot of females in like the humor kind of category as far as Disney goes too, that I really enjoy. So I was like, all right, I'm going to try it. We'll see how it goes. And so far, so good, I guess.
The one thing that I found really unique about your content is that you do find your own lane, so to speak. Like what you do and the humor and the way you go about things is very different than like what you see in the tip space or food updates or whatever news in other categories or travel agents. So I think it's really interesting that you provide a different aspect or view on the parks.
Yeah, and I mean, that was a big part of why I started it, because it was always a lot of, you know, very similar things. And I love Disney with every ounce of my being. I mean, I was actually just talking before dinner tonight. This is the first month since November I haven't been, and I'm not a local. So I absolutely love it. But, you know, there are some real things with it. You know, it's expensive. And if you're like me and you like to shop, that comes back to bite you sometimes. And I just wanted to keep it really authentic and real to me. So a lot of that isn't always done necessarily in the Disney kind of community. It's a lot more lighthearted, where, like I like to say, I like to bring more of a little bit of an edge and some more real things to it. It's not always roses and happy. Sometimes crowds get to you, and so do the drinks.
I think it's a little more real with it. The humor is like our generation's humor. I mean, I get the Adam Sandler vibe, yes. the Will Ferrell vibe, and that's our generation. So seeing that comedy, just because you don't see that anymore. So I think it's hilarious. I I was like, told you earlier, I watched the Step Brothers clip probably 10 times. Just that was my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, leave me alone. Let me stay.
Well, it was funny. I saw a clip on TikTok today about how like that comedy's just not made anymore. For a number of different reasons, but like you don't see it. People don't take that kind of creative freedom in comedy or anything like that anymore. But that's a topic for a different day that we're definitely not gonna wade into. But
I can get into that today.
Yeah, I think we would all need to have a few more drinks to be able to have that conversation. The big thing that I'm curious about is you mentioned that you're not local, but you do go frequently. So, and you've got two kids. I think you've mentioned they're 7 and 5.
Yep.
What is your kind of travel with Disney relationship like?
So I'm a Vacation Club member. So I've got DVC points, which is how I can go so frequently, because I'll take mini trips just for, you know, a couple days to go to like Festival of the Arts or Food and Wine or something like that. And because I have flown so much at this point now with Southwest, I've racked up a decent amount of points with them too. So I've been able to utilize that and kind of offset some of those costs. But I'm also divorced, so there are days when I don't have my kids. So it's a little easier to travel without them, and then instead of planning travel with them. But they do go with me at least twice a year. So
oh, nice.
They're pretty lucky. And at this point now, they're kind of like, we go to Disney. Sure. I also I was a travel agent for a while, actually, too. I'm not anymore. Now I've partnered with Mouska Planners. But that was how I also offset some of those travel costs, because it does get expensive. But I think the Vacation Club for me is very fortunate that I can not pay for a hotel. And I'm also an annual pass holder. So
did you join DVC before you started creating content, or yes. How long have you been a DVC member?
I joined DVC in 2021.
Okay.
So I had been, and that was how I sort of got into the content world. I had been going frequently with those points, and then friends and family were like, you just start posting some of this stuff online. You could do this.
Yeah.
So I tried. Well,
how long were you a travel agent?
Not long, maybe.
Yeah.
Not 6 months, maybe.
Okay. Like so you months. Decided it wasn't for you.
Well, I actually really loved it. My only thing was being a single mom, and I have a full time job too. It became a lot to try and balance all of it together, but. And I absolutely loved helping people plan their trips and then being the go-to when they were there if something was going wrong and being able to help them. I think it's fantastic, especially if you know Disney and you love it. It's really great. But it just became a little too much for me at this point in my life that I was going to focus more on the content creation.
Yeah. And the only reason why I asked that is I think it's really important that somebody hears that perspective, because that's probably the most frequent question I get is, what does it take to become a travel agent? How do I do it? What are the discounts? How much money do you make? All this stuff. And I've promised probably a dozen people that we would do a podcast episode all on that subject. So I don't want to get too far into it, but it is like, I think it's important for people to hear, because the first thing I always tell them is you don't understand how much time it takes from your family.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're echoing right now. And the other part of it is you're not just, you know, doing very little work and getting to go on trips for free or for discounts. Like, it does not work that way. It is very much building a business. And so I think hearing your perspective as a mom and just kind of pointing out that this is not an easy thing to do is a very, very important thing for people to hear. So that's why I wanted to touch on it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and absolutely. And if you're somebody who's like me, like I'm a people person. I'm an extrovert. I love to talk to people. And so I always had an open line of communication. Text me whenever, whatever questions you have, and I would get on it and answer those questions. And that really did start to take a toll, especially not being local. I was up at 5 a.m. booking dining reservations for clients and then having to get my kids to school. And then I had other clients texting me, you know, at 9, 10 o'clock at night, just depending on where they were. And it just became a lot. So it's something, if you're really serious about it, it's really great and really fun. But for me, having my kids and another full-time job and doing content creation was just, I had to take a step back from that.
That's a really important
thing. So I got to ask, where are you a DVC member at? What's home resort?
Riviera.
I like it. I like it. It's a good choice.
It's
Chip is also a DVC member.
My favorite, except for Beach Club, because they have the best pool.
Nice. Ooh, a little hot take there too. A little hot take there too.
I'm with her.
I'm the only non-DVC member on the show tonight, sadly. So you guys can all cry tears of whatever for me as we go through it. But Emily, we're so excited to have you on the show. We're going to talk more about your content. Before we do that, I want to jump into the news for this week. Universal Orlando is testing a new drone show. Have you guys seen this on social media?
No.
It looks pretty cool. I saw it probably 30 minutes before we jumped on to record, and it looks pretty awesome. So there's people that have gotten a little bit of video of them doing the drone testing, and we've talked about it before on this show that like the downfall of Universal beyond their park hours being so short is their lack of a nighttime show. So I think a drone show is going to be incredible. Emily, have you seen the drone show that they do at, I think it's Disneyland Paris?
I have not been to any international parks yet.
Have you seen videos of it though?
I have. The drone show, I can't believe they haven't brought that to the States, at least at Disneyland, if not Disney World, because that looks really awesome.
And that was my question is, and Emily, I want to get your take on this and then Chip, I'll get yours. Would you want a drone show to replace a nighttime show at Walt Disney World? It's a tough question, isn't it?
Can we do it at Animal Kingdom?
Nope. Because that's why they don't do them there, is because the noise like bothers the animals too much.
Okay.
So if you had to replace, and I'm not going to, Epcot, I think, is a cop out. So if you had to replace Fantasmic or Happily Ever After with drones or add them in, would you do it?
I think I'd add them.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would replace either of those shows, but I think you could add at least some kind of element of drone to either of them, mm-hmm. and it would be pretty awesome.
Be interesting. So Chip, what do you think?
I'm 100%. You got to add them, but I think they're more likely to be in DC or in Disneyland because of the restrictions on Anaheim with the fireworks. I think that sounds 100% what they should do. And if not Animal Kingdom, I get the buzzing, but I don't see why that wouldn't affect. That's not louder than the kite tail stuff, but I get day and night, whatever, but we're going to get to that point where fireworks are too expensive, I think, at some point, but
that's what I'm worried about right there. Yeah. I think like it's such an easy cost-cutting measure at some point to just invest in drones and get rid of, you know, how it's one of the most expensive fireworks shows there is outside of like Chicago and New York on July 4th. So I think that's what worries me, is that eventually it's just going to be a natural takeover. And as cool as it is, I don't think you can ever get me to stop enjoying the fireworks. and there will be an absolute, there's two things that I think would cause a complete riot uproar. One is if they really increase the price of Genie Plus, and two is if they ever got rid of fireworks completely. Yeah. That would just be a crazy, crazy, crazy time to be a Disney fan. But for Universal, I think it's awesome. It's exciting. I'm sure Epic is going to have stuff like that, and I'm really looking forward to it. So great props to Universal on that front.
Yeah,
100%. The next one, Chip, Dale, Goofy, and Max are now meeting at Hollywood Studios. Emily, are you a character person?
I am. Awesome. I really am. Like, I love meeting characters.
We've got a really great listener question. We're going to get to at the end. So if you're listening, stick around for that, because we're going to talk about character dining and we'll ask Emily her opinions on that. Chip, I know you're a little bit of a character guy. Does Max, like, does that excite you?
Oh, so the Goofy movie's probably my favorite childhood movie. So yes, those are, I mean, the other ones I'm okay with seeing, but I'd go meet Max all the time.
Max is the only one I care about. Like at the the pre-Boo to You parade, when Max is running up and down, that was all I wanted my kids to see. And I wanted to do the perfect cast, and I can't dance. Like, my kids don't care if I dance. They don't want me to dance, but that is my movie. That is my jam. So definitely excited about that one. All of the water refill stations are now available on the My Disney Experience app, which from a quality of life perspective, especially for annual pass holders, people that go all the time, being able to find that stuff quickly is a big upgrade, I think. And then the big topic that I want to touch on, Emily, are you familiar with Walt Disney World announced for 2025 packages? you get a free water park day on the day of your check-in, right?
I did hear that.
Okay. So you've got kids that I'm sure 5 and 7 would enjoy the water parks. How did you feel about this perk generally?
For me personally, and knowing how my kids travel, because we come from Wisconsin, on the day of travel, that's really not helpful for me. We barely get to a meal on travel day without a meltdown. So having a water park day pass, well, that sounds great. Maybe if you have older kids or you're traveling without young children. But I think a lot of people travel with kids around my kids' age. The day of travel, that's not a park day. That is, like I said, maybe a Disney Springs, maybe a meal kind of a day. But otherwise, it is strictly travel, check in, get settled.
Emily, you hit the nail on the head. Chip, what did you think about it?
So I'm okay with it just because I am a travel and stay the night somewhere else before we go to Disney the next day person. Like we've talked in the past, I'm a little bit of a travel points hacker. So we'll stay off site and then Uber in just because we like doing that. And just, we get there, we can, if we need to hit a grocery store up, if we might just stay at a free breakfast place. And actually the Home 2 Suites, it's where we stay. It's probably where we're always going to stay, is the Home 2 Suites over at Flamingo Crossing. Has a great resort style pool. So we stay over there. And then the next morning we'll get up and we'll go check in and try and get the first room available. If not, we'll go to the parks, but that's when we would go to the water park. So I'm okay with it. I get the side of, oh, we've been up since 6 a.m. or 5 a.m., 4 a.m., whatever it is. And yeah, it makes zero sense. But then it closes at 5 o'clock. Like
that's that right there. That's the key that really ticks me off. And I say that as a travel agent, but more as a dad. Most people, when this came out, had no clue that the water parks close at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And if you look, even for spring break this year, the water parks close at 6, and there's only one of them open. So it's the busiest, arguably one of the busiest times of the year for Disney. And the busiest time of the year would be Christmas. People aren't going to the water parks at Christmas. So to me, for the water parks, this is probably the busiest time of the year. You going to the water park at 5 p.m. when you can virtually never get your room early is impossible with children. It's impossible. And it goes exactly what Emily said. Like if you're getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you've got little kids, you are not going to fly in, dump your stuff at your resort with no room, pull your, you know, water park stuff out, and then go run to a water park just to get there. And it'd be closed 2 hours later. That is crazy. And the idea that like we would call that a value or something that matters to people drives me insane because I don't push people that listen or follow me on social media. I don't push things on people or recommend things to people that I'm not going to do myself. And to me, that's crazy. Now, where this is really cool, and I think a lot of people started to think about this a few days later, is if you book a split stay. If you book a split stay, this can be really valuable. And I think that 2025, at least right now, the most value you're going to be able to get is if you do a split stay. And there's some great opportunities. Emily, have you done split stays? Because you're a Disney vet.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about it. What are some of your favorite spots to do split stays?
Well, I typically do them DVC because when I go, I typically stay DVC, and just depending on what rooms are available when I want to go, sometimes I'll have to split. I don't mind it, again, if it's just me or I'm traveling with other adults. If I'm bringing my kids, I did it one time. I will never do it again.
My wife just heard that and she's nodding because my wife doesn't really like it either. But DVC members do get the water park perk also, which I think is important too. Yeah. So your DVC check-in day, you also get the free water park perk. So it does have a little bit more value, right? If you're going to split up your split stay.
Yeah.
If you had to choose, let's say, put the DVC stuff aside. If you were just choosing for yourself as a mom with kids, let's say you've got a little bit of a budget. How would you pair two resorts together if you were doing like an ideal split stay?
Ooh, that's a good question. So my go-to, if I am traveling with my kids and on a budget, I really love Pop Century. at one of my favorite resorts. It's a value resort. You get a good bang for your buck. My kids absolutely love the Skyliner. So that having that access is top. Like, that's one of our top things we need. So if I was going to do it, I would probably split between Pop Century and another resort, maybe Caribbean Beach if I wanted to stay on the Skyliner there and still be budget conscious. I've also stayed at Swan and Dolphin. And if you want to be budget conscious, but you want the deluxe resort kind of feel, I feel like that's a really great, that's a really great option that a lot of people don't realize, but that would probably be how I would do it. I would split it between a value and maybe a moderate, or even doing an all-star and then moving up to either Pop or Art of Animation and just having that little bit of an extra step up so that you have those days at, you know, a little bit closer to property, a little bit different travel. We're not huge bus fans if we can avoid it, because they tend to get a little crowded depending on when you're going. But having that split stay and then having a day where if you are moving between and having the water park, I think is a great option.
Yep. And I think that's great. So let's say hypothetically you're going to do a split stay where you're going to stay at Pop Century, and then you're going to up your budget and stay at any deluxe resort you wanted for two nights. Which one would you pick?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, my DVC self wants to say my home resort, but I have never stayed at Polynesian, and it is like the top of my bucket list. So if I could stay at anyone, no budget, Polynesian would probably be the one I would choose.
And I think that's where like this kind of water park thing makes the most sense and is really helpful. Obviously any split stay, it's helpful, but where you're doing like 2 days at a deluxe where you're going to spend a lot of time at the resort, and then on your checkout day of the deluxe, you pop over to the water park, Disney takes your bags to your value, and then you end your vacation just hammering the parks. Or you could flip it around, right?
I say, I think you got to flip it. I think you got.
You could do
value
that.
Then to deluxe, I don't think when you. My
you don't. Chip. How do you feel about that?
You know what? The pool. Then you're wasting a day at the pool at a beautiful pool with the slides. So that I kind of lean towards deluxe or moderate to a value or something along that line, just because for that sake of. If I'm going to move to a deluxe, I'm going to stay at that pool, especially DVC. If we're going to stay at for a beach club, that's a water park in itself. If you go to Saratoga, they've got a couple pools. If you're at Old Key West, something along like they've got a couple different pools. If you're at a moderate, okay, maybe a value to a moderate. That's a good move there. But if I have a deluxe built in, that's probably going to be my non-park or a water park day, just because I wouldn't be at that pool.
And here's to your point, Emily, my problem with putting the deluxe on the back end of a split stay is that then I'd get tempted to want to go to the parks. I'm like itching, right? Like let's say you've got a 7-day vacation and your first 5 days are at Pop Century. So you're hammering the parks every day. And then your last 2 days are at a deluxe where you, in theory, you're going to stay at the resort and stay at the pool. I'm going to be sitting there checking the wait times at the pool, like, just like, oh, I could go over for a few hours or whatever. And then I'm not like relaxing. Whereas if I do the pool days on the front end of the vacation, I don't feel that FOMO of going to the parks. Right.
See, and I'm the opposite. I would,
I
would front load my trip, because as soon as I'm on property, I want to be in those parks. I want to be doing everything, seeing everything. And by day four, I'm ready to just, okay, we're going to take it down. We're going to take it way down. We're going to sleep in. We're going to hang out at the resort. We're going to do these pools. We're going to go to Disney Springs. If we're at Beach Club, we're going to walk over to the boardwalk, because I've had, you know, 4 days in the park. So
yeah. I'm the opposite. It's a good perspective though. It's a good perspective. And so the whole point is that despite there being, you know, some frustrations with the water park thing and kind of the reaction to it initially, there are some good ways to find value with it. There's some good ways to find use of it. And the good thing is it does apply to DVC and to anybody else that's going to the park. So it doesn't cost anybody anything. It's a free perk. I'm not going to complain about that, but hopefully they've got some other great things up their sleeve for 2025, because otherwise it's going to be the year of Epic Universe, which, you know, we love Universal. So we're fine with that too. but I like to see the competition ratcheting things up across the board. It makes it better for everybody. So for sure. All that said, let's jump in a little bit more about Emily's journey a little bit. And the one thing I wanted to ask you is, do you have like a favorite video that you've ever made or one that you're like most proud of?
Gosh, you know, I was thinking about that today. I love all of mine that have collaborations with other people, because that's really why I started, was just to get to know other people in the Disney community, because I didn't have a ton of, you know, friends in real life that were as into Disney as I was. So I was just really looking for those, you know, friendships. And so anything I've done with other people, always a favorite. But the one that I'm most proud of is probably my Joe Pesci one, because Cardi B ended up sharing that and it really took off. So oh, wow. That was really cool. I think
I can't wrap my head around Joe Pesci, Cardi B, and a Disney content creator. I'm just like, I've got to go back, because I don't know that I've seen that one. I've got to go back and check that one out for sure.
Yeah, it was probably, it was definitely one of the more controversial ones I posted. I was like, oh, I don't know if I should post this. There's some language here, but, and I got to give a shout out to Kevin, whose dad's love Disney, because he was the one who sent it and was like, you should really use this, because he knows I've got a little bit more of an edge with my stuff. So I gotta shout him out on this and give him some credit where it's due. But yeah, that one took off, and pretty happy with how that one did.
awesome.
What's been the biggest thing that's been given out in terms of feedback, people responding? Is it good, bad, negative? How's that?
I mean, generally speaking, it's been really positive. And I should probably knock on wood, I haven't had a ton of like haters and too much of my stuff. So I'm pretty fortunate in that realm. But a lot of the feedback I get is just, oh, you're so funny. Like you guys said before, you don't see a lot of this kind of humor, especially, you know, related to Disney content. So I sort of have, you know, kind of zeroed in on that, if you will, and really try to keep it to that authentic humor that I originally started with, because it seems to be something that people aren't getting a whole lot of other places.
I think you mentioned you go like once a month or so. How you can always keep up with the trends while also doing it in the parks and not living at Disney. I'm like, this woman has to be there all the time. So like, logistically, And obviously I don't want to get into any of your secret sauce or anything like that, but
no secret sauce.
Well, are you seeing something and then like banking it for your next trip in a month, or how does that work in your mind? Or the week before you go, are you just trying to find as much trend, you know, humor stuff that you can? How does that work out?
So at least the week before, I start to really save some audios that I really like, or, you know, find them if I've thought of something. But leading up to my trips, I really try to figure out like things that, yeah, I watch a lot of Parks and Rec, The Office, you know, just kind of those early 2000s sitcoms, if you will. And when I hear something that just resonates with me, whether it's, you know, a Disney context or not, I just try and hold on to that until I'm in the parks. And I have a problem, if you will, that I'm not there all the time, because I will get these audios and this inspiration. And I'm like, oh, this would be so great if I was at Epcot. Oh, this would be great at Animal Kingdom. And I know exactly where I would do it. So I try to write it down or like save it for my next trip so that I have that still fresh when I'm in that park. But I'm glad you said that, because it doesn't always work out like that. I promise.
It seems like that to me, because I'm like, by the time I hear it or it's trending to me on my feed or my algorithm or whatever, you're like, doing it.
Yeah.
So like if you're doing it like basically on time, I would say that means you recorded it early.
Yeah,
and I think that's crazy.
To use too many trending audios, to be perfectly honest, because I find that the trending audios get used all the time.
Sure.
So instead of looking at audio that's trending, I just look at what kind of resonates with me. Like, oh, I mm-hmm. know that's really funny, or oh, I actually think of I have a really good idea for how to use that. It's more, like I said, authentic to me, and not necessarily what's working with the algorithm or on mm-hmm. social media. And so far it's worked out pretty well.
Well,
like I said, I'll go with my kids more often than, or without them, excuse me, more often than not. And when I do that, it's solely for the purpose of using audios and making that content. Because when I go with my kids, my focus is on them. I mean, you can look at my page. I don't post my kids. Like, it's not something for them. But when we're there together, it's their time. We're going to do what they want to do.
Definitely.
So do you have any advice for anybody that's looking to put just create content in general? It doesn't have to be Disney specific.
Stop worrying about what other people are going to think and just do it. I will tell you, honestly, I did not have a lot of support from friends and family doing it. I had some friends that were like super into it, like, yeah, go for it. But there was enough people that were like, oh, people are going to make fun of you. What if people from work see you? And I eventually just got to the point where I'm like, you know what? Doesn't matter. If it makes me happy and it makes other people laugh and brings a smile to their face, that's all that matters.
I coach high school football and it's very like that stereotypical locker room talk. And I get made fun of left and right, but it's just like, I don't really care. Like, You like your own stuff. I like my stuff. Just let me be.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's maybe why I don't get a lot of hate too. I think I did, early on, but I either didn't address it at all, or I kind of made fun of myself back at them. Like when I replied, I was like, oh yeah, I really should have done that differently. Like, and then you just don't get any of that. You just let it roll off your back. And cause you're not going to be for everybody. I'm not for everyone, but
yeah.
Hopefully for, the fun people.
Well, we enjoy you for sure. So you've got fans over here. When it comes, so obviously you're traveling a little bit solo or just with other adults. Yeah. And I think that's another thing that when you talk about not caring what people think, that's another big one that I hear a lot is, and I felt that way the first time that I traveled by myself to Disney. And I feel like Mike Rallman, who hosts the Be Our Guest podcast, who I think a lot of us have a lot of admiration for, he was really like the first one that pushed me to go travel by myself outside of work. I traveled all the time by myself at work, but then like going to Disney was like, oh my God, like people are going to say something or whatever. And so what tips would you have for people that are considering traveling either just with their adult friends to Disney or by themselves to Disney?
I think you should absolutely do it. Just don't even second guess it. If it's something you want to do, go for it, because it is a completely different experience going with kids, with other adults, and even by yourself. I really love traveling by myself because I'm on my time and I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. Even if I'm traveling with other adults, I'm very mindful of what they also want to do and what they need. And of course, when I travel with my kids, it's all about them. But if anybody is thinking about doing it and has any reservations, even as a female traveling by myself, Disney is one of the few places I would say I feel very comfortable going to by myself, very safe. There's always lots of light. There's lots of cast members. It's nothing you need to be too worried about. And even as somebody who's on social media and my face is out there, I've had people come up to me. I've never had a bad experience with it. It's just something that, be mindful of your surroundings, but do it.
Awesome. Did you feel that way the first time that like you solo traveled or did an adult trip? Did you kind of have that hesitation or were you confident about it from the get-go?
Solo, my first time solo, I was definitely a little hesitant. Yeah. Made sure, my location was on for friends and family and they knew what I was doing. But once I got to Disney, because that's really the only place I've traveled solo for multiple days when it wasn't for like work. Mm-hmm. But I got to on property once I got into the parks and I was in my routine and I knew what I was going to do. I really had no worries, no issues. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Are you a Run Disney person at all?
Yeah. Oh. My water cup is Run Disney.
What all events have you done?
So I've done 4 races so far. I've done 3 5Ks and 1 10K. No, I take that back. 2 10Ks and 2 5Ks. I'll be doing my third 10K for Springtime Surprise in April. Yeah, I ran 4 of the 6 miles in my 10K last January without training. I would not recommend that. Hobbling around the parks after that, but so much fun. And I am not a runner by any means.
Are you training for the Springtime Surprise this time, or is it more like you're going to have fun and do the characters and stuff like that?
I'm going to have fun, see the characters. Run weekends are so much fun. I would never recommend bringing children to them just because they are very crowded. But for adults, if, even if you're not a runner, those races are just, I guess it's an early morning, but the energy and the crowd and seeing the characters, there's music throughout the course. It's a really good time.
I've done Chicago a couple times. I've done Disney a couple times. There's no comparison for a Run Disney race weekend to any other race anywhere. It really isn't. Like, it's just a completely different experience. And what people don't understand is there's characters all throughout the course, right? And do you stop for them as an example? Do you stop for most of them for pictures?
Depends on who it is. Last January, Darkwing Duck was out and I pulled a full U-turn.
There's a lot of unique characters, right? There's characters that you don't see anywhere else outside of Run Disney.
Yeah.
And or in, you know, any of the cruise line stuff, because sometimes there's unique characters on the cruises, but Run Disney, they bring out characters. I think Isabella from Encanto was out at one of the recent ones. There's some really cool ones, but you basically have to keep, I think it's like a 16 and a half minute mile pace. There's they call them the balloon ladies, that they go the slowest pace and they're carrying balloons. If you fall behind them, they're going to take you off the course.
Yep.
But 16 and a half minutes, you can really walk a lot and do a lot of the character experiences and stuff like that and still be able to finish it, especially for the 5Ks, the 10Ks, the halves.
Yep.
You start getting into the marathon, that's where you start to run into getting picked up a little bit more, I think. But
they're not at the 5K, right? They are not at the 5K?
The balloon ladies, no.
There's no time limit on the 5K. And I will say about characters on the races, it actually, those lines, they can sometimes look really long, but they go really fast because it's just adults who are doing them. So they go get up there, say hi to the character, take their picture and go. It's not like when you're in the parks or on the cruise line with the kids and they're interacting with the kids and having mm-hmm. little conversations. So you get through those lines fairly quickly.
Yeah, very quick. Cause they want their picture and then they're gone pretty much, which is, right, which is fun.
So have you done a cruise?
I have not. I want to so much, just haven't gotten there yet.
Chip is a cruise guy.
Yeah. So my wife and I my wife and I haven't been to Disney by ourselves. We did a Disney cruise by ourselves. So.
Okay. So question for you with that. I have bad motion sickness. When I'm at Disney, I have a steady stream of Dramamine in my system at all times.
Yeah.
How does that go on a cruise?
So we went in January and it got bad, and it was just because of the weather. Like the first day and a half, we were fine. Beautiful weather. The weather turned and we missed Castaway Key and it was bad. My wife felt bad for like 2 weeks after. I was fine. Like I was okay, weird the next day just from that. But if you go in the summer when the weather's more calm, then you're going to be fine. Like the first day and a half, you had no idea we were moving. So
the first half of that, Chip, I was like, she's never going on a cruise.
I know when you said that, and you missed Castaway Key, which I hear is like,
but then you did.
Listen,
you saved it in the second half.
We had the back. We were literally at the back of the boat or back of the ship, and we were backing into Castaway Key. We did it twice, and we couldn't dock. And like I saw it, like that's the only reason we wanted to do the cruise too.
I'm going to segue that into spring break because we're going to talk about some of our favorite spring break tips or Disney with crowd tips. Emily, I'm going to start with you. You're going to get the first pick here. What is one tip that you would share with somebody that's getting ready to go down to Walt Disney World on spring break?
Know what you absolutely want to do, things that are nice to do and things that you can miss, because I think you have to have a plan. And my best advice is do top three each day. What are the top three things you want to hit? Whether those are three rides, a character meal, two rides, a parade, whatever it is. Know those three things and plan your day around that. And then have a couple of these would be great if we got to them. And things that you know you're going to miss because the crowds are going to be there. You're going to have waits. So make sure you prioritize those top three for you.
Very good. Very, very good tip. Chip, what's your number one?
My number one is to take a break. We are rope droppers, so we'll get up early, we'll go. But then by noon, when that crowd starts kind of getting big, go take a break and come back later on at dinner time when people are going to eat. because they won't come. Sometimes they don't come back, or they've been there from sun up to there and they're like, we're done. So then you kind of get that second wind. So that's my first. What about you,
Matt? Great tip. I was talking to somebody about that on Instagram today for spring break. That remember that period from 11 to 1 is where the wait time graph peaks. So you want to time your break from 11 to 1. Do not get in line for something, really. Like, go do something else. Go eat, go relax, go do something else. From 11 to 1, stay away. And then the wait times just go on a natural decline from there, just like you watch a stock graph or anything else. But my number one for spring break is transportation. And the reason for that is, like, you are going to have crabby kids. You're probably going to be crabby. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be hot. You're going to be waiting. And the worst thing that can happen is you can't figure out how to get somewhere, or you completely forget how to get somewhere, like, is more complicated than you thought it was. And a great example is when someone is at a resort like Coronado Springs, and you've got a dining reservation at Boma. You're like, I'm going to go get on the bus 30 minutes before your reservation, and I'm going to pop over there. And then you realize that there is no bus from Coronado Springs to Animal Kingdom Lodge. You have to take a bus from Coronado Springs to Animal Kingdom or to another park, and then you've got to take another bus back to Animal Kingdom Lodge. So you're talking, including the wait time for the bus, 30 minutes from Coronado Springs to Animal Kingdom, 30 minutes, and that's if you're lucky and you get the bus quick, 30 minutes from Animal Kingdom to Animal Kingdom Lodge, and then you're finally at your reservation. You're late at that point. Everybody's crabby. But even if you're not late, everybody's crabby from having to do all the transportation. That is not an enjoyable experience. And so when you're making your ADRs at this point for spring break, you've made them already. You need to think through how you're going to get everywhere that you're going to go, whether it's theme parks, dining reservations, whatever, plan it out. Because the last thing you want to do is be waiting for buses multiple times. So that's not a fun vacation. So transportation is definitely my number one. And I talk about that a lot, but I just see it so frequently that people forget about it, that I think it's really important. Emily, do you have another one?
And along the lines of transportation, I can say I've been in that situation before. And instead of waiting for the bus, I just got on my Uber app. And paid for the Uber to quickly get us right to the resort that had the dining reservation. And it's something I think people don't, you know, really think about, because Disney is so great about having free transportation. But Ubers, I have found, are generally very quick around Walt Disney World. We've always gotten them within 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then it only takes, you know, 10, 15 minutes, depending on where you're going, to get somewhere. And it's generally not too expensive if you're staying on property to go somewhere else on property. So just a little backup plan in case the free transportation is getting exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever used the minivans, the Lyft minivans?
I haven't, actually.
Okay. Those are great with kids because they've got the car. They always have car seats.
And that's what I was thinking of the last time I was there. It's like, oh, I should have looked into that a little bit more, because I had four kids with me the last time I was there.
Oh, goodness. I don't use the Lyft app. So for me, like, I wasn't going to download the app just to use the minivans. Mm-hmm. But one time it was like a consideration. But if you're planning ahead, download the Lyft app, because when you get there, Disney operates minivans through Lyft, and then they've got car seats available. So that's another great option too, as Emily pointed out. Chip, what do you got for us on another tip for spring break?
So my second tip is take a day you're not at a park.
Great tip.
So sleep in. And this is the one where I would say, whatever you have planned for dinner, if there's a restaurant you really want to go to that you couldn't, that's when you stay on the app on the day of, and you might find it, especially at lunchtime when people are like, you know what, we're not going to make it. We found a table for seven at a beach, or a table for six at Beaches and Cream at noon on July 1st, something like that. It was crazy, like right around July 4th. And I'd never seen Beaches and Cream ever on the app, like never had availability. So I picked it up right then and there, and we went and had a meal. So take a day where you go over to Disney Springs, go shopping. Maybe if shopping's not your thing, go to a park that has the Skyliner, like Hollywood Studios, and ride the Skyliner to resorts. We love doing that as a family. Just take a day where you're not at the parks. So that's my biggest tip.
So that's a great one too. I think my last one is kind of touches on all of ours a little bit, but it's to manage your expectations. And this was another great point that somebody made when I was chatting with them on Instagram, because they were asking questions and they said, you know, basically they asked, am I screwed if I don't get Genie Plus on spring break? The shorter answer is it depends on what your expectations are, right? Mm-hmm. If you expect to get, you know, 5+ attractions that are like e-ticket attractions in each day and you don't have Genie Plus, that's not going to happen. So if you go into it, like Emily said, and you've got that, you know, top 3 priority list, I think you can manage it, especially if you rope drop without Genie Plus, but you can certainly manage it with Genie Plus. So I think that's the biggest thing, is like set your expectations for yourself, set your expectations for your kids and your family, so that you all kind of know going in. We had a few listener questions that were very specific to spring break that I want to make sure we ask about. Chip, you kind of touched on this one a little bit. So Emily, I'm going to start with you. The question was, what do I do if I have no ADRs and I'm going over spring break?
Ooh.
Do you ever go on your solo trips with no ADRs?
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, I have some favorite quick service restaurants that I always hit at specific parks. And if it's just me, I like to take breaks with my kids and do like midday dining reservations for lunch, or like you said, for dinner, if, you know, we don't have a park day. But if it's just me, I don't do a whole lot of dining reservations, but I always hit Docking Bay 7 at Hollywood Studios. That is one of my favorite quick service places, along with Satouli Canteen at Animal Kingdom. I know you left that one out, but I like Animal Kingdom.
I love Animal Kingdom too. I love Animal Kingdom too. But if you've got a 3-day or 4-day trip, it's like,
especially if you don't have park hopper. That one always falls to the bottom. I'm with you on that. It does.
Yeah.
But Pecos Bill is another favorite quick service at Magic Kingdom. And the reason I like these is it's because it's not the typical park food, if you will. You're not just going to find burgers, hot dogs, and fries. You're going to find other things on the menu, which for me is a big plus. Don't get me wrong, I love burgers and all of that stuff, but sometimes you just want tacos or mac and cheese. And if you're like my kids, that's all they eat basically. So we find the restaurants that have those.
Very good tip.
If you don't have the advanced dining reservations, know which quick service restaurants you're going to go to.
So that really ties in well with Chip's point, which Chip mentioned, you know, the Beaches and Cream, like check the app the day of. And so you combine the two, Chip's point and Emily's point. You've either got quick service or you're checking the app and you've got great options available. It is not if you don't make ADRs, it's not the end of the world.
No.
That's the reality.
I'm looking at it right now, and there's so many good options. Like for a family of four on that Saturday, March 23rd. I mean, I've got Woody's
Rodeo Roundup Barbecue.
Rodeo, yeah, that's on there. Hollywood and Vine. I mean, there are.
In fairness, the 23rd is like when it's like the main travel day for spring break. So,
I looked at Tuesday the 26th too, and I found there's even a Chef Art Smith's homecoming. Ooh. Like
so keep an eye on the app and keep checking. Use Thrill Data for free dining reservation alerts. There's a lot of good ways to do it. Use a travel agent, then they'll do this stuff for you. That's always an option, but definitely keep that stuff in mind. But all hope is not lost. It's not going to ruin your trip. You'll have a great time anyway.
Yep.
The next question is, this was really, I got a flood of these questions. I'm going on these dates and I'm going on these dates and I'm going on these dates. Is it going to be crowded? And the answer to that question is from basically March 10th until April 8th or 10th, it is going to be very crowded.
And you're only going to get a week break then before you get the Run Disney springtime crowd coming in, and then it's going to be busy again.
And then you got the cheerleaders.
And then you got the cheerleaders. Yep.
Yes. There's really, honestly, there's never a point that anymore that Disney's not busy. That's just the reality. It's going to feel busy no matter what time of year you go, but this is outside of the year between outside of Christmas to New Year's. This is the busiest 4 weeks coming up at Walt Disney World, without question. And this goes back to expectations, right? Just expect it to be crowded.
Yeah.
No matter what day it is. So I'm not trying to be blunt for anybody that's been asking those questions, but just expect that it's gonna be crowded. We've got a couple more listener questions specifically for you, Emily. What advice would you have for someone planning a very first time trip to Disney?
Ooh, well, besides all of the advice that we just gave, because I mean, regardless of spring break, I think everything that we've mentioned is just good to have going into any trip. Manage your expectations, uh-huh. Have your priorities straight. A break day, especially if you're going with kids, is necessary. I can tell you from experience, we just did 4 parks in 4 days with 4 kids. It was a lot. It was great. We all had a wonderful time, but we needed like 2 days to recover by the time we got home. Everybody was just so exhausted. So I think having all of those things, like we said, just anytime you're going is just good to have. First trip, 10th trip, spring break or not.
Very good points. Very good points. What is your favorite tip for Disney with kids?
I think the biggest tip is if they don't want to do something, don't do it. I mean, they're the ones that honestly, I've got 5 of them. If they don't want to do it, we're going to go do something else. And we'll come back to it at some point, if maybe later on. I mean,
yeah,
because we as adults, we can appease ourselves. Kids, you can't. So that's kind of my biggest tip with kids.
I think along those same lines, don't ever push your kids. So if you are getting to that point in the day where it's typically nap time and they are hitting their wall, go back to the resort, go back to the hotel. You're not going to miss anything in those 2-3 hours where they rest that you can't make up and do later in the night. You're going to have a lot more fun with your kids if they're rested and you kind of take them out of all that stimulation for a little while and then come back to it.
What's sad is that it doesn't work in reverse. My kids, when they want to ride Alien Swirling Saucers, I can't bail on that. But those are great tips. And we've got 2 more listener questions. This one goes back to what we started to talk about a little bit earlier. Can you rank some of the character dining experiences? So Emily, your character's girl. Let's say like your top 2 or 3 of your favorite character dining experiences, and then Chip will get yours.
All right. Top one, hands down, I tell everybody, is Topolino's Terrace. I absolutely love it. It is a great character breakfast. It is one of the few character meals that's not like a buffet style meal where you actually are ordering off of a menu. I really like it because it's a lot smaller too. So yes, it's harder to get in, but the noise level is significantly less than at some place like Chef Mickey's, for example, which is personally not a place I like to go to. It's just too much stimulation for me and my kids. But the food at Topolino's, I've always had a really great experience with, and their service. So that's top tier for me. I also really love Tusker House at Animal Kingdom. I think that's just a really unique character experience where they're in their safari gear and you don't get to see that anywhere else. I also really like that they have kid-friendly food, but then also some different flavors for adults. And then actually one I just went to in December with my kids that I ended up enjoying more than I thought I would was Ohana at the Polynesian. My boys absolutely love Stitch, and that is one of the only places where I knew we could see him and have like a set time to actually interact with him. So that ended up being a lot better than I thought it would. Food-wise, it's okay, but it was definitely a very environment to go to.
Those are some great, great choices. Chip, what are yours?
I got 2 that really come to mind. Number one, which is crazy, my wife actually said it to me the other day, like, hey, are we going to go back there? Is Hollywood and Vine for breakfast. And that's
you were going to take mine, but you didn't. Hollywood and Vine is a good choice.
Hollywood and Vine, because of the Disney Junior, my kids were young when we went there, but I don't know who's there now, but she's like, we went there and Chef Mickey's for breakfast. And she's like, I would not go to Chef Mickey's if you paid me. So she's like, the food was better. Like they had like a breakfast burrito bar. Like it was legit. And like, she's like, Doc McStuffins came over and hung out with us for a long time. So I don't know who's there now, but we're probably going to do it. Listen, if they ever got the rights to Bluey and they put me there, oh my gosh,
that
would be the hardest ADR to get ever.
That would be the first time that like you could call like a new character meet big news in my world. Yes. Like that, you can clickbait that headline all you want to, because I will eat that alive. So that's for sure.
And then the other character it's not open yet, but I'm pumped, is 1900 Park Fair.
I think after it opens, and to me, I think it's going to be the best, all because of Mirabelle and Tiana 100%. And Aladdin and Cinderella. Like, you no longer have to do Cinderella's Royal Table to get your daughter to meet a Cinderella, which I think is awesome in the Magic Kingdom area, at least. Akershus is hard for parents with daughters that want to meet princesses because the food is just so unique there. I get that you're trying to meet characters. You're not there necessarily for the food, but it helps if the food is decent. And Akershus is very, very difficult for even adult palates. To me, that's going to probably be one of the hardest dining reservations to get. Yeah. The last question that we had that we're going to answer this week is about VIP tours. Emily, not to put you on the spot, have you ever done a VIP tour at Disney or Universal?
I have not. Okay. I've wanted to. I've had a couple of friends that we've talked about going and everybody kind of splitting the cost of it, but we have not actually pulled the trigger on it yet.
I've done one at Universal, but I'm in the same boat. And I think, Chip, I think you're in the same boat too. Like, and this really goes down to Disney, you get up to 10 in a group for a minimum of 7 hours, but the cost is $450 to $900 an hour.
Yeah.
It's not total. That's an hour.
An hour.
Yeah. So you really need like a 10-person group where everybody's going to split the cost to make it reasonable. And so the Disney VIP tour is a little on the expensive side. You get the benefit of walking directly onto lines. We're not talking about like Lightning Lane style. We're talking about like walking directly onto the ride, which is better in that sense. But, and you get the education, you get the, like the food access and stuff like that. It's, by all accounts, from everybody that I've talked to that's done it, says that it's worth it. But you have to know going into it that it's an expensive ordeal. Universal is priced differently. They do it $189 per person, and it goes up to, I think, up to $350 per person. It's variable just like Express Pass, but it is the same experience. You're literally walking onto the ride, and you get to pick whatever ride you want that you're going to do it. We did it with a bunch of travel agents in November, and it was incredible. We got to do everything. It poured absolutely poured the rain, unfortunately, which was like a huge bummer to me, but we made the most of it. But we did, I think, Velocicoaster like four straight times where we literally just, and we didn't even have to walk all the way out. You could just walk off the ride and then up some stairs and across and back on. And the only reason why we didn't keep going was because it was raining so hard that it was like, it was a miserable experience, like starting to get like torturous.
Yeah.
But it was cool. I highly, highly, highly recommend it at Universal. It is absolutely worth it there. Disney, it's just a harder bullet to bite, I think. But, you know, maybe we'll get a bunch of people together that have been on the podcast and do it. That would be fun.
I'm in. Sign me up.
Can we do that with Velocicoaster? Because I'm dying to
try. Yeah. Emily, so Chip has not been to Universal in a while. We got to get you guys to Universal. So we definitely need to kind of coordinate something like that, because that would be a lot of fun.
That would be awesome.
No doubt. So now we're going to jump into the guest game of the week. Speed Disney, 8 rapid fire questions. Emily has not gotten these questions. Yeah, you have a drink. Have a drink. Enjoy it.
All right. in my Mickey cup.
Yeah. First one, Emily, what is your favorite park?
Hollywood Studios.
Favorite ride?
Rise of the Resistance.
Favorite snack or drink?
Oh, Dole Whip. Can I say that?
Go ahead. Yeah, you're good. Favorite Disney movie?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. Oh, that one's hard.
There's a harder one coming.
Oh, no. I'm going to go with Moana for right now.
Fair. Favorite Disney song?
Stand Out from the Goofy movie.
Good call. Ooh. Good call. This is the toughest one.
This is the toughest one. I wouldn't. Actually, I have the answer for this one for me. Favorite Disney movie made before 2000?
Well, see, I'm glad I went with Moana then for that other one.
Yeah.
Before 2000, can I say two?
Sure.
Aladdin. And I think Hercules is before 2000,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think it was 98.
Okay, so I'm close there, but I think those two are definitely.
Favorite restaurant?
Are we talking at Disney World?
At Disney World.
Topolino's chairs.
All right, what's your favorite souvenir or merchandise that you've bought?
Another tough one. I tend to buy a lot of mugs. I don't know that I have a favorite, but I always seem to come home with at least.
So that's going to wrap it up. Emily, we hope you had fun with us, and thank you so much for being on. We really appreciate it. But if you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to reach out to any of us on social media or via email. I can be found at Adventures of a Disney Dad. Chip, where can people find you?
Robinson Dad Life on its Instagram.
Yep. And Emily, where can people find you to follow you for your content?
Enchantment by Emily on Instagram.
Awesome. If you're interested in having me assist you in planning your next Universal or Disney vacation, please feel free to reach out. All the links to get a free quote are in the show notes. Our services are free to you, and we'd love to help you plan your next dream vacation. If you have a moment and you could follow, subscribe, like, and review the podcast on whatever platform you prefer, we would greatly appreciate the support. Emily, again, thank you so much for being with us. We had a blast. We hope you had fun.
Oh, yeah. And thank you guys for having me. It was wonderful. Anytime you want to have me back, just let me know.
we're going to get you back on. So, and we will, for Chip and I, we're out of here. Thank you all for the support, and we'll see you guys in the parks.
We'll see you when we see you.